You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jonathan Tuttle.
Good things take time. Everything takes time to build, whether your business, your relationships, everything takes time. So just kind of have that mentality first and a mindset.
Jonathan is the founding director of Revenue Ascend, a leading digital marketing agency based in Chicago. The firm is focused on driving new growth and generating measurable ROI. The agency was designed to dominate the market while working with each brand individually. Beyond this foundation, Revenue Ascend also creates a customized tactical marketing playbook and growth strategy. Jonathan is also a fund manager at Midwest Park Capital, a private real estate investment firm. Jonathan, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
I am excited to be here. You know, I in reading your bio, it makes me think of the joke that, you know, whenever people see others in conversation, they you know, and you ask what someone's up to, and they say, "Oh, just discussing world domination." And I feel like with your focus on dominating markets, we can actually say that we're talking about domination here.
Yeah,
so, so when you talk about market domination, what, how do you define that?
Yeah, great question. I think just having a fully encompassing brand where you're hitting them from every angle, so they can, you basically take a portion of somebody's brain, basically. So if they go on Google, you're number one organically. You get the paid ads in front of your competitors, so when they search your competitors, you're still in their top of mind. And then just every, you know, Facebook retargeting, AdRoll retargeting. So just basically where you're, it's kind of like where McDonald's or Burger King, where you always remember that those brands just because they're everywhere. It's the same thing, but doing it digitally.
So I was just going to say, it sounds a bit like being everywhere as a brand, which certainly
exactly.
Seems like it's a big challenge to many as the universe, the metaverse, eye roll, is in a constant state of change. So how, you know, it begs the question, should a brand be everywhere?
That's a great question. I think the first, you want to have one, angle that works for you well. You have to have one, like if it's Facebook or Google, it's one where you have that, where it's locked in, to have that reliable and predictable income. And then once you have that locked in, you have good campaigns and it's profitable, then you want to start adding more layers to it. Because if you go all too much at once, you're not going to be able to actually measure where it's coming from. And then you could say, okay, now I got, and say, this cost me, you know, $100 per booked call on Google Ads, and I, every 10 closes, and I have a $5,000 or $10,000 product, and my labor for my employees is like $1,000 or $2,000. So my margins are 40%. So you could kind of scale once you have your metrics, basically reverse engineer and see where your first profit cycle is. And then you start adding more. Because if you do too much at once, you might not see where the actual, you know, the results are coming from, and you can't scale accordingly.
You know, you brought up the M word in there, which is also part of your work with Revenue Ascend, the measurement and ROI piece of that. And in study mm-hmm. after study, we see that this is a big challenge for marketers, and probably related to this increasingly complex world that we find ourselves in. So what are some of the measurement best practices that you recommend for brands to get a handle on not only their day-to-day work, but planning as well?
Sure. And like, that's been a whole thing with the whole, go back to what you alluded to with the metaverse, but yeah. With the whole fallout with Apple and Facebook, and that's been kind of a, you know, the tracking and people, I heard some number, it was on one of these conferences, I heard it's about, I don't know if it's, I don't quote me on this, but somebody says like 90% of people are opting out of the retargeting on because it comes up number one on option on Facebook. And that's why Facebook had all those, they're doing all these TV commercials to kind of paint themselves as like this, you know, great community. Yeah. Years after the fact, they've got a bad reputation. But keep driving metrics. So just going back to your question is you definitely want to see what it, I have a couple main points. It depends on what your niche is. And online, the higher the ticket, or if you understand your lifetime value, or if you have higher ticket, or if you have like you upsell your client once they come in, you have a lower ticket offer, you have to have something, an irresistible offer to begin with, or something that makes you stand out and memorable. You just can't just say put up ads and there's nothing substance behind it, because that's not going to work. People still want, you have to solve a problem, they reach out to you or looking for you to solve a problem or help them or provide a service, or you have a product. That's one. It's got to be irresistible, or it's got to, you know, stand out. Then you look at your metrics, how many clicks, how many people call. There's, you know, basically set up appointment, or, you know, basically you want to just hit every metric. So it's basically, I usually do because I do a lot of info products now, and it's, you know, click through rate, clicks, and then how many costs for a booked appointment. And then we just reverse engineer too. How many, if it's 10% or one out of every 10 calls, cool. We know we could scale accordingly. And so basically you just want to look at your cost per clicks. There's some other softwares out there now too, like AnyTrack and then Heroes. Alex Becker's got this really cool program. It's if you're spending like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, that's what they even recommend. You want to start getting more granular and seeing where exactly where your spend is. But something like Heroes, there's different tracking devices that go across the different platforms. And then you can kind of reverse engineer, because if you just start throwing money out there, you're not tracking, you're not going to be like, is this attributing to the goal? The good thing about digital, even with that, people opting out of Facebook, there's still ways to get the, you know, the pixels on fire, and you can still see what you're getting in the calls. And then for the easy solution is use AdRoll for perfect audiences. Like, cause that's it's a pixel that goes and makes your brand. If you're a small company, you want to look a lot bigger. AdRoll, a perfect search. It's basically a retargeting platform. Those little banner ads, and it's on like CNN, Fox, ABC, any TMZ, any major website. You could run it for like $3 or $5 a day, and they went to your website, and you're following around. You're like, wow, you're on that national, but it's really just a pixel. You're following back up with them. So I recommend, just measuring out and seeing what your plan of attack is, what's your irresistible offer, what differentiates you, or what do you do that makes yourself better than somebody else. Clearly define that in your outreach. And then your brand building with all the digital is just going to compound it exponentially. And then you really just kind of reverse engineer. And one thing people should keep in mind too with digital, it's not like you just put $1 in, next thing you know, you get $3 back in the first day. So there's a little bit of testing, finding out different offers. And it's like usually what happens is it's usually the one ad that you wouldn't think would do that well. And it's like that one always says the best. Yeah. So your audience, and to figure out who your audience is, and then that's why the first month or two you want to be testing, and then by the second month you really want to start scaling, the third month you just take over from there for digital. That's usually the protocol most people have. They hear all digital is great, but they have expectations that the first day you put $1 in, the next day you'll have $3 back. It doesn't work like that because there's no data. You don't have any data.
You know, that's a really great point. And as you alluded to some different timelines in there, what I love your cautionary tale too about, we put $1 in and you're looking for the dollar back, almost immediately. This kind of, this promise of digital that we sometimes, I think, have in our heads wrong. But as you talk about kind of timelines for measurement, you know, what is a good routine to get into for measurement best practices? You know, you're not going to see that dollar back in a day, but as you look at the timeline overlays and scorecarding, what are some good habits to get into?
Yeah, I think one is proper expectations, and also good things take time. Everything takes time to build, whether you're building business, relationships, everything takes time. So just kind of have that mentality first and our mindset. Then the metrics you want to look through. And remember, all these platforms too, like Google and Bing, they don't give you the first traffic, the best traffic right away on the first. If you've never advertised before, they got to get familiar. They got to see. Same with Facebook too, but they got to see that you're actually like people are responding to your ads, and then you start getting the better placements or the placements you want, and your quality score goes up. And if people are familiar with, but like Google and Bing, they have, it's called a quality score. Typically, most people have like a 6 or 7. If you go higher up your quality score, let's say 8 or 9, you'll start placing at the top, number 1 or 2 on like the paid ads, but you're paying less, like 30 to 40% cheaper than the person that's like number 3. and you're getting, because of quality, you're providing what the advertisers are going there to do. You're providing what the people are looking for. They reward you. So the whole thing from the language, the copy, to the landing page experience, the speed of the website, and the people clicking, the higher the click-through rate, you start getting cheaper ads. That's kind of a tip to people. Put effort into like your setup on that regard and making sure that the website also easy to navigate, has clear call to actions, basically make it easier for you guys to get hold of. And then also, you just want to measure. So that quality, once you get the quality score, you're probably going to start off like, it'll say 5 or 6, and then like 3 or 4 days later, once the algorithm kind of reads it, those same ads typically will go to like 8 or 9, and there's nothing changes. Just it starts to read it. So the first thing you want to do is like the click-through rate. Typical click-through rates for Google, 2 to 3%. And if you get a 4 or 5, you have a, that means you're hitting the right audience, or you're going really broad, 1 of 2. And if you start getting a 5 to 7 click-through rate, you're doing exceptionally like top tier. So that's what you kind of want to look for. And then it also comes to a point too, when you start scaling, if you're advertising in a, $2,000 a month budget, you're going to probably want a higher click-through rate. But if you're advertising with $80,000 a month in ads, you're going to have a lower click-through rate, but you're just bringing more people in. So you're going to, like, it's a trade-off. There's a certain point, an inflection point, where it's okay, I can still be profitable, but I'm going to pay a little more per click, but I'm going to have higher revenue. My margins will be lower, but I'm going to have more end revenue because I'm spending an extra, X amount per month, but I'm still profitable. And so that's kind of as you scale, you got to keep that in mind too. Like, it's not always going to be a $1 and a $3 out. And then for Facebook, the same thing, click through rate, cost per, and then it's, and here's another thing too, when people, I'd rather pay more for a click and get it in front of a better audience. So I make, even for, because when people complain on Facebook, the algorithm gets smart and starts putting in front of people that respond. But the problem is, if you make it too easy for people to sign up because it's an autofill, for the lead formats, for example, on Facebook, then you're going to get something that's going to I don't remember signing up for this. So put some relevant questions on there that actually makes them like have to input. I didn't think you're going to get, and then also having your, SMS text reminders through like Twilio and, and then also if you use like a Calendly or whatever you have for follow-ups, you're kind of dripping them with pre-content or following up with whatever you're trying to sell and showing case studies and success stories before they call you or before they show up to your business or wherever it is, you're basically lead nurturing on the whole process. So to go back to your question, just basically the cost per click and just understand, like, it's not, the higher the ticket's better. It's harder to do if you do a lower ticket offer. Let's say like you have, let's say it's a like an e-commerce store, like a Shopify store, you're doing drop shipping. It's a lot of people aren't profitable for like until the second month because they're spending $5 to $10,000 just to get until they get the data. And the problem is too, because before Facebook, the custom audience, those email lists that you'd upload and they would create a list, it's for local business, it's kind of become almost irrelevant. It used to be like a ninja way to just upload a list of 5,000 emails and they'll find like 60-70% of them. But now with the whole going back to that Apple fallout, it's not as effective as it used to be. So build your data, calculate your cost per click, like have some, if you start seeing, okay, I'm spending $2,000 a month and like I'm getting an extra 400 website visits and then like I get X amount more calls, use a call rail. You just start want to have some metrics that make sense for your business. And that's the best way. It's not like any industry standard because every industry, we could talk about 50 different industries and they all have a different cost per click and they also have different exposure. That's another thing we're talking about. When you're advertising, how familiar is your audience to what you have to have? If you're doing something that everyone knows about, your cost, it's going to be, could be more competitive, but you also have an audience that might not need to be nurtured. If you have something really unique and something new that nobody's seen before, it's going to cost more because you have to educate the person. They have to see it before they understand what it is.
So in talking about, you referenced a lot of, budgets and what you're paying and thinking about the other big topic on marketers' minds, especially this time of year, is planning ahead. And we've mm-hmm. been coming out of a couple of weird years of planning. What should we look to with paid advertising budgets on the digital side of things in the year ahead?
Well, first, yeah, this is a great time because depending on when this airs, once you hit November, Black Friday, and all e-commerce and all the online stores, it's good to have, I would say, get your ads out now, but then also if you're a smaller advertiser, then you should focus on having a really heavy email campaign. I would say even like 2 to 3 days a week as long as you have something of value in the email, not just like, hey, sale 50% every day. Like that's going to get redundant, but hey, this is our new product. Check this out. Think of anybody, any family, friends that need it for the holidays. We have this offer for you. Buy 2, get 1 free. Next day, like that sale is going to end. Make sure you get it before it goes. Boom, that one's gone. Now we have this offer. So, but do that through email, and that's going to help mitigate and lower some of your cost. And then also look at, like, now we're getting to an era, like we talked about Facebook. People are exploring different channels. So, like, obviously Google is at the lion's share for, like, you know, pay per click. But I mean, see, now people are really kind of gravitating towards having a lot of success for YouTube ads, because a lot of people go there to learn. So if you have something where it's learning based and you can put your ads on the banner right before your competitor, that's been working really well. I haven't really done much with TikTok, but I know some people are having some good success with that for like e-commerce and like local restaurants and things like that nature. It's something where it's not, you don't need to have a lot of, you know, learning experience. Just kind of like, here it is. Here's a video of me opening this item. Here's unboxing. Here's the item doing something cool. Or here's me at this restaurant. Look how good the food is. And so those work really well on like TikTok. We don't really use TikTok ads, but that could be like a tip for people that to test it out. And like, we're all trying to figure that out because that's all relatively new as well. But it's basically go explore some different channels, is what I'm saying. Snapchat has really cheap ads, but I don't know anybody's really had a lot of success with it. I mean, you get really, really cheap cost per clicks, but it's like the targeting's kind of light, and then it's never been a measurable, in my opinion. The ones you're going to get the most bang for your buck is always going to be Google. It's going to be expensive compared to Bing, but the lion's share's on there. Then Bing positions themselves like, oh, well, you know, our average demographic makes $100,000, and like they're 35 and up, because remember, they come preloaded on a basic Windows computer. So like those people don't, you know, surge as much. You just don't get the lion's share of the traffic, but the cost per click is a lot cheaper, and you could do decent with that. I would just always allocate maybe like 10% of your budget towards Bing, just to have your foot out there. If somebody's on there, you don't want to leave, especially if you have an older demographic, 35 and up, or you want a more affluent demographic, Bing's good. And for medical, because medical's getting pretty much impossible with the new 3-strike system on Google. So those would be some strategies. Just test some different angles. Shoot out some emails to kind of mitigate your cost, but have like get a copywriter but just don't shoot out emails like the same thing every day. Something fun and engaging, have contests, whatever it is, tell your friends, or just have like, hey, this is our offer that's going to end this weekend. Keep reminding them. People appreciate those when there's actually like substance behind the emails.
Awesome. Great. Great tips. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask, you know, you talk about working with clients and creating a tactical marketing playbook. What does a playbook like that involve?
It'd be case by case based on the business. So I've worked with, or we've worked with pretty much most industries. So we see where they're, what they've done in the past, what they haven't explored. Then we see what's their expectations. What do they need to see? And then we kind of just reverse engineer and we set the expectations. Here's this. This based on our experience, we see this works, this doesn't work, this is where your potential opportunity is. And then we do a competitive analysis of competitors. So I'll go and see in Google, I'll look on the competitors' Facebook page to see if they have, you know, see if they have running ads. And if there's something they're not running ads and they're not doing very well with SEO, even like SEO, they do really, really well. A lot of my companies rank number one nationally, but SEO is like to see if they're ranking, if they're not, that could be an opportunity. That's going to work quick on that. That's a 5 to 6 month process. But if you use anybody's SEO, do not outsource the copywriting. If you're the expert, Google wants, one, the crawlers can read and understand who's writing it. So if you hire a writer that writes for everyone in the industry, and they can recognize patterns, so then you're not going to rank as high. So you just put one or two blogs per year, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 words, but broken up in 4 to 5 sentences, you know, per sentence, per paragraph, of something of value in your niche coming from you, the owner, Google really appreciates that. And those will start ranking. And then you just do some blogger outreach, but do real blogger outreach, not like all the stuff, the shady stuff back in the day, get, you know, paid for those quality links, 30, 40 domain authority, one or two a month, and maybe a press release that you write and, you know, do like e-releases or something like that. You'll get some natural links, you know, follow links from the press release, whether you get Yahoo or whoever picks you up. And then the local media, they'll pick it up and they'll link it back to your site. Plus you're doing organic link building to bloggers in your niche. So Google, and then you'll have good content and make sure your on-page is good. So that's, I mean, that's real high value there. I mean, I get that mitigation. That's another way to mitigate your costs, the SEO side. But just understand it takes, you want to do it over like 5 to 6 months. And then after that, just like some link building randomly, not that often after that. So those are some really good tips right there for that.
Awesome. Great points. Jonathan, as we start to wrap up, it is time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Yeah, you just threw me by surprise because I've been so frustrated because it's like what I do in my company is I'm always trying to be above and beyond. Like, for example, like I have this new, I have an HVAC. It's kind of a combination where we set up the ads for ideally our target avatars of, you know, 4 to 2.5 million, whatever. So it's small, but they don't need too much of an advertising budget. So we do like a hybrid where we set up the Facebook, Google, and Bing and AdRoll, and then they have online curriculum. And then one of the things just kind of tied in here, but I get $500 of the sign up when they pay me, goes towards a college scholarship. So I help kids get a free ride for HVAC. So, and then I have my dog charity, homeless dog charity event, I'm setting different charity boards. So I'm always doing all this stuff. And I'm like, it's so frustrating with companies that don't even do anything to get back. So, and like nowadays, it's like, it's, you go to these companies, like even your local restaurants now, like people, they're not even open because nobody wants to work.
Yeah.
So I'm like really kind of perplexed like that. I would say probably, I'm really perplexed on this because I've been so frustrated because like, a lot of the companies I've been going to recently, it's like they don't really value. I don't know. I'm perplexed. I've been so frustrated since the pandemic because of just customer service and friendliness and going above and beyond has kind of like disappeared.
That is a valid point. It's certainly a broad definition of smiles too. I always remind folks that if it's it could be a shaking their head smile with frustration as well. So definitely something to consider. Jonathan, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. So for Revenue Ascend, just how it sounds, revenueascend.com, or just online, it's Jonathan Tuttle on Instagram or Jonathan Tuttle Official on Facebook. And then I think Jonathan Tuttle with the number one on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Jonathan, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Until next time, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.